Liam, do you like free shit?
Yeah.
Do you like gay people? Mm. All right. Well, you should enter our giveaway.
Woo! That's right, everyone. We have a giveaway for the month of Pride. We're going to be giving away some really awesome stuff. What are they going to be getting, Chase?
So for our giveaway, we have teamed up with independent queer creators because the corporations have enough fucking money.
Yes.
And we are giving away 200 smackaroonies worth of stuff.
Yeah, $200.
We are giving away one handmade knit market bag by Tiff Knits.
We've also got a gorgeous inclusive pride candle from Edith and Herbert.
Two custom enamel pins by Matt Hans, a local Vancouver artist.
As well as a digital portrait from Iconic Designs.
And then finally, because we can't get enough of ourselves, we are giving away one pack of 5 custom 2 servings of fruit stickers.
Yes, by Ally Modded by Maya.
Yes, Modded by Maya. She's not queer, but she's an ally. So to enter, we will have obviously the link in this description. All you have to do is enter your email and boom, you're in.
Boom. It's that easy.
And while you're there, you can follow the queer creators that we've teamed up with for extra points and extra entries.
As well, you can go check out some of their awesome work. Go support your local queer independent artists and us.
And of course us.
The winners will be announced by the end of the month.
So now, our episode. Welcome to episode 19 of Two Servings of Fruit. I'm Chase.
I'm Liam.
Today we're doing something a little bit different and a little bit, call it not original even, because it's actually loosely, we have to put loosely here because otherwise I think we could get sued. Loosely based off of a MTV Canada show called One Girl, Five Gays.
That was like word vomit extreme.
What do you mean?
Today we're doing something special. You can call it unoriginal because we could get sued, but today we're doing something that's like One Girl, Five Gays.
It's a podcast, okay? The point is to talk about things on a podcast and say words.
Not at lightning speed.
That wasn't lightning. I can show you lightning.
Okay, go.
Ka-chow!
Whoa.
Lightning McQueen, that is.
Okay, yeah. So today we're doing...
Queer roundtable.
We are calling a queer roundtable. And when I first sat down to start a podcast, I had this idea to have, because obviously me and Liam, for the 600th time, have seen a show called One Girl, Five Gays on MTV Canada. And I had an idea to kind of do something similar with a podcast, just every episode being like a rotating group of gays. And we talk about love, life, and sex, just like the show. But that's not what this podcast is. So yeah,
evidently.
It kind of became... I just didn't think that would be sustainable for a podcast. So me and Liam obviously created this beautiful piece of art that you listen to every week.
So that's a little bit of director's commentary.
Yeah. Let's just give a little context. It adds a personal touch. Okay.
I'm the PT.
So, but I think, especially during Pride Month, this is important because we're showing a lot of different queer voices.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
And I really wanted it to be a part of the show still. So I'm glad we're doing it. And I'm excited.
And it was so much fun. So basically... Yeah. What else we do? Today we have our friends Brian, Bishan, and Nick on with me and Chase, and we talk about a lot.
Yeah, and we just take turns asking questions, but these questions have been created by a third party.
Yes. So Chase's boyfriend.
He prefers to remain anonymous. We'll call him Disney Escapade.
Or we can call him Person X.
Okay. So, anyways, basically me and Liam didn't know a lot of the questions going into it.
I didn't know any of them.
Yeah. So, genuine reactions. And it's really fun.
Yes. All of our pals' Instagram, socials, all that stuff will be linked in the description of this episode.
Yeah. You won't hear from us again. It's just going to be the fucking show.
Yes.
Well, you'll hear from us because we're in the show. But you won't hear from us in this setting right now, in this situation.
In this professionalism.
Professionalism. That's exactly what I'd call us.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
ew, Chase.
I'm not. I can't. I'm not putting that in.
What the fuck,
I'm
you not, fucking bitch.
Fucking, that was
gnarly. Fucking bitch up in here.
That was fucked.
Gnarly.
Oh yeah. Bitch. No weird shit of the week this week.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a little sacrilegious. Oh, we've done weird shit of the week every episode since we started. Remember when we said we were gonna try different stuff at the beginning of episodes and then we just stuck with weird shit of the week?
I love weird shit.
Yeah, but anyways, no weird shit this week. Deal with it.
Bye.
Enjoy the round table.
Bye.
Are you ready to sweat, baby? Welcome to the Queer Roundtable. The Queer Roundtable. It's a table full of brown queers. It's the Queer Roundtable where we answer all your questions for the queers. Welcome to the Queer Roundtable.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us on our Queer Roundtable. First ever. This is groundbreaking. Borderline monumental. I figure we could start by all introducing ourselves just so people who can't see us can hear us and know who we are.
I think just baseline, we should say our names, our pronouns, and like where we are in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Or mentally, if you want to say where you are mentally, too. That's fine. I'm Chase. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm not quite in Vancouver, but I will go with Vancouver.
My name is Bishan. I use they, them pronouns, and I live in Vancouver.
For real, they live in Vancouver, like for real.
I guess you could say my stage name is Odie, but you could call me Nick for short. I use he and him, and I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, unfortunately. Yes.
My name is Brian. I go by he, him pronouns, and I'm going to go with Vancouver too.
Oh, I love lying.
My name is Liam, for all you who don't know, and I am he, him. I have he, him pronouns, and I'll be honest and say Langley, BC.
Oh. Oh, the one true one.
No, that yes. Outs the rest of us, though. Like, you can't just do that. We live in Vancouver.
Fine, Vancouver. I live in Vancouver.
This is an audio thing only, right?
It's audio primary. We'll just say that. It's audio okay. Primary. The I'm not only dealing thing, with the whole video.
No, the only thing the video would be used for is, like, short clips for socials.
The socials whole... is short for social media, by the way, for those who aren't sure.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Nick, what is COVID like over there?
Girl, it is so problematic here in my province. Like, I mean, people don't know how to stay home. People don't know how to listen to restrictions. People clearly didn't pass science, which is why our numbers are, you know, fluctuating. And yeah, we're in code red. You know, the cases are, yeah, we're Manitoba's pretty. Are we left to swear?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing? Manitoba's fucked.
No.
Manitoba is fucked. We're fucked right now. I mean, and our premier is, well.
I literally don't know anything about Manitoba.
So I know they're huge bugs in the summer, right? Like majorly big bugs.
Like our bugs are pretty disgusting. Like our mosquitoes are huge, our June bugs are huge. Like everything is just big in Manitoba except brains, clearly. But it's really bad here, honestly. It's kind of sad. Hopefully we can get it together.
Fingers crossed for you guys out there.
Liam and I will start, and then we'll just kind of pass it off to someone after we discuss. And in post-production, I'll make it sound a lot smoother, so don't worry.
Post-production. I'll
untuck backstage.
This is a good first one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how approachable do you think you are at the club?
Bishan, have you been to the club?
No, I have not been to the club.
Okay, so that makes you a 0.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like I'd be pretty approachable, though. I just feel like giggling with my girls, you know. I get very fun and like loose, so I feel like I would be super approachable, unless it's like a guy being weird, then I'd be like,
no. I feel like for me, I'd probably be, I don't think I'm very approachable at the club, just because I'm kind of in my own world. Like I don't pay attention to my surroundings really, which is probably also not safe, but I'm just kind of like out there, and I'm like on the stage and just like literally jumping up and down, like not even dancing, just literally jumping up and down. Or like just going up to the DJ booth with like my phone with like a notes app open, like play this song. Brian, how approachable are you at the club?
I would say like 1 out of 10, I would say a 10. Like, I think I'm pretty approachable, but honestly, it depends who it is. If it's like a girl who thinks I'm straight, like get the fuck away from me. If it's like a guy, like, are we talking about a gay club or like a street club? I don't know, if he wants to buy me a drink, then be like more approachable.
I will let anyone buy me a drink. I don't care who they are. And no one really ever does, but one of the times they did, his name was Douglas, and he was old. Yeah. He was so
really old.
Really old man, and he bought me two drinks, actually. And then he started recording me and Liam on his phone.
On his phone, really, like, weird. Taking videos of us from across the club.
Yeah, while we were dancing and stuff. So this was at Junction.
Oh, yeah.
He was awesome. Douglas came in his, like, sport jacket, you know what I mean? A little windbreaker. Yeah.
Giving retro vibes.
Oh, yeah. He was giving major dad, but, like, dad, yeah. Like, old dad, retired dad.
Yeah.
Pension.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, like, not approachable ever at all in my life, and that includes the club. Like, I feel like I'm maybe a two, like, just overall at the club, at work. At the mall, like
that's awesome. That's a brag.
I'm a nice person. I just want to make that clear. I just don't think I present like a nice person.
Okay,
but yeah. I'm nice if you talk to me. But I think on the outside, like, you wouldn't think I was nice, and I know that for a fact because multiple people have told me that. So, but I'm nice, but not approachable.
Okay, great.
I'm gonna have to go with what Chase said because people have said that I have resting bitch face, you know, and people don't really come up to me, which is cute because I don't like to be that close to people anyways. But I'm gonna have to give myself a 3, I guess. I'm a nice guy. Like, I don't know why people always like are scared when they're around me, but I'm a nice guy, you know.
That's I love that we both gave disclaimers. Like, we are nice. We swear.
You know, we are. Nice.
I've literally seen Chase at work and I'm scared to talk to him.
But I know you.
I know. That's the thing.
See, I wasn't lying. I told you guys I'm not approachable. What fetish turns you on the most?
Oh my God. How do I even choose? Like, just getting absolutely murdered. Like, just getting murdered.
Oh my God, killing boys.
Yeah, like, I would like to be murdered.
Is that really your answer, Leo? Is that really
not literally murdered, but, like, close. I like very rough sex. And I don't have a lot of sex, really, at all. But when I do, it's like, Jesus Christ. Was that a fight scene, yo?
Someone.
Should we give a shout out to your mom right now who listens to this
Please
podcast?
Don't.
She really?
She knows about the Instagram.
I'm the same way, to be completely honest. As long as it's rough and it's good, I don't really give a fuck at that point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't fetishes. I don't know. Like, I'd piss on someone.
Oh!
Should I say that aloud? No, I've said this before. People think I'm crazy, but yeah, I'd piss on somebody. I mean, I might let somebody piss on me if it's in the shower, but...
Wait, you would? You would do this or you've done this?
Ooh. I would.
A very legal answer.
I would.
Okay.
I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cheeky.
Sure.
For me, I really don't have anything that I'm like very like, oh yes, I love this. But I don't know. I don't really love it when it's like too rough. I feel like I'm very like, I feel very like minimized. I don't know, because I guess everyone assumes that I'm like the less dominant one. So I don't know. Roughness kind of like doesn't attract me. I don't know. I like doing things in the shower. I don't know if that's a fucking fetish.
Your fetish is the shower.
I don't have one. Like, I would say, like, yeah, I don't, like, I don't know. I'm very neutral. I'm like, whatever happens.
Vanilla.
You fucking call me vanilla. Or fucking vanilla.
Well, like, first of all, literally no experience at all. I've kissed somebody, so we're really judging off of nothing. So if anything, I would say I'm the vanilla-ist. I'm 2 scoops of vanilla, bitch. I'm 3 scoops of vanilla, girl. Like, I am, I literally have no idea.
But what do you think, like, when you think about sex, what turns you on?
Punching him and, like, kicking him and, like...
Whoa! One second ago, you just said vanilla, punching, kicking.
Oh, my God.
Jeez Louise.
I'm kidding. I wouldn't mind being tossed around a little bit. I don't know. Okay. How do you feel about heterosexual men embracing queer culture and being revered for it while queer people are ridiculed for it? i.e. queer baiting.
I think it's very unfair. You know, like, I feel like queer people have been trying so hard, and for heteros, it's just like, it's just so easy for them to even like take things that like we've been trying to normalize for decades, and it's like, it's aggravating for sure. I think it's definitely a discussion to have. Like, I don't know, it kind of pisses me the fuck off.
I think that there's like a fine line from, I think that heterosexual men should be able to express themselves the way they want to, and if they want to be more expressive with their femininity, then that should be allowed. What I have an issue with is when they're pushed as like the poster children for it. For example, like Harry Styles, he doesn't really label himself as anything, but he is on the cover of Vogue wearing dresses, when like Black queer people have been doing this for like decades. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Literal decades. And now when somebody gets praised for it, it's a cis, straight white man. And it's just like, I don't really understand what we're getting accomplished here. If breaking like the gender norms is coming from cis men, it just like confuses me, you know, when they're the people being praised for it, with like queer creators. I've seen it on my TikTok page. They're like some of the smallest creators on that app. Whereas if like a straight guy goes on there with a skirt, it's like, I'm in love with you. Like, millions of likes.
Yeah, especially one thing I've noticed a lot as well is just like with nail painting, that alone is like such a big like signal on TikTok to like girls and just like very impressionable audiences that like, oh, these guys are like, they're softer because they're more feminine, but they still carry all of these like really patriarchal and just like horrible traits with them that are like completely toxic. So not only are they just misrepresenting like an entire community and taking a lot of like recognition away from people who have been doing it for so long, they're also misconstruing it in a way that makes it seem like that is like, that it's conflated with the same kind of toxic masculinity that still exists, even if they show as being more like effeminate, but not really effeminate.
Honestly, I just have a big problem too, because like, it's just problematic because it's all of these people that have been in the been in the public eye for so long, right? And they already have their pedestals, and it's like, okay, yeah, you paint your nails, okay, you throw on a skirt, and it's, oh, the media is flocking to them. It's like, bro, people have been doing this from time, number one. And number two, why wouldn't you put somebody that actually is from the community as your poster child? It's like, these people don't even identify, you know what I mean? It's like trying to put a goat on a freaking 2% milk jug. People are gonna be like, what are you doing? This isn't, you know what I mean? It just doesn't work. So I get irritated about that. And it also boggles my mind. Like, I had a conversation with people the other day, and they were like, oh, like, we just wanna give Lil Nas X for changing the industry and making it such a big thing. And I'm like, that's bullshit though, because how do you just forget Prince? Or how do you forget Luther Vandross? Or how do you forget, and the list just goes on, of all of these Black iconic people that have been gay from time. And it's like, just because this guy comes from out of nowhere, and again, I'm not trying to diminish Lil Nas X, but it's like, the industry almost is like forcing this type of image and this type of picture for what they want people to think our community is. And I'm just not here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of your points, but I want to like pose a question. Specifically Harry Styles, if he wants to wear a dress or a skirt or whatever, should he not? Or should he just be doing it differently?
I don't mind it when straight men express themselves and express their femininity in certain ways, but when straight men are the only ones being praised for it, that's when I see an issue. He is not the one who gets backlash. Well, he did get backlash for it, but like, if somebody down the street saw Harry Styles wearing feminine clothes, they'd be like, oh my God, like, he's so attractive, what a good looking guy. But if I were to walk down the street in like heels, they'd be like,
the fuck?
Get this fag out of here, girl. Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, I don't understand how he got that title.
Yeah. I don't think the problem is Harry Styles choosing to wear whatever he wants to wear. I think the problem is like the response to it from just our culture at large, which is just to like suddenly it's like, oh, Harry Styles is like a trailblazer. Like Harry Styles is so like, he's making such an impact and look at how much he's shifting the conversation, as if he's not coming on the tails of like generations of queer people who are still existing and who are still not getting that recognition.
So do you think the onus is on Harry Styles to acknowledge that?
I think he should give queer people platforms if he's going to benefit off of queer culture.
This is a tough question because I would never want someone to disclose their sexuality if they didn't want to, but do you think he's being ambiguous about his sexuality intentionally?
Yes. I think Harry Styles' sexuality is a marketing thing. I think that's unfortunate, but I do. I think, you know, he's got a lot of people around him who are saying, you want to make money? This is how we're going to make money. And like, it works. Like, you know, he's making money. He's doing great for himself, but it's also, I think it's kind of shitty. And I mean, if he is, you know, bi, gay, pan, whatever his sexuality is, you know, definitely that's a personal decision for him to disclose. And I agree. Don't think anyone should disclose it. I just think we also can't be naive in this moment to think that someone wouldn't do something like that.
And I honestly personally think that the ownership should also be on the brands too. You know what I mean? Like they are the ones that like, you know, they have a creative team. They sit there, they say, who are we going to have as our face? Who are we going to put up here? And it's like, who's at these tables? Who's putting these names up? Because the first name in my mind that just popped up is, why wouldn't you put Billy Porter on there?
I love Billy Porter.
Like, you know what I mean? This man has done, like, they have done so much from time. And it's sad, really, that the community isn't getting the proper acknowledgement that they should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and the problem kind of, like, because I just thought, like, yeah, the problem is with queer representation, too. But it's also kind of a racial thing, because wasn't Jaden Smith wearing skirts for years and years, and he didn't land on the cover of Vogue?
He also got, like, shitted on.
Yeah.
Majorly.
Like, the media was terrible towards them.
Yeah, at the time, there was really, like, no one in, like, the celebrities. Like, no celebrity was doing that. And he was so shitted on. I don't know. I think times have changed for sure. I don't think that straight people should be benefiting from what we have been like suffering from. You know what I mean? It's hard to watch, because it's like kind of like, I don't know, why are they getting praised?
Okay, I'll ask a question. What is or what was the worst sex you have ever had and why? I'll start, maybe. Oh my God, this is so dramatic. I don't even know if I want to go there, but whatever, I'll keep it 100. So I was doing my thing, you know, and we're going at it. And then obviously, you know, the bottom at the time was like, oh, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. And me being the top that I am, you know, I was like, okay, well, let's slow her down. Let's just relax. So, you know, I'm starting to exit the facility, and a lot of situation came out after. And it got to the point, like everything was ruined. Like the sheets, the bedding, the room, it was like, I think that was probably the most traumatic part. And obviously like everybody shits. Like I don't, like, that's not a problem, but it's like, it wasn't stopping. And I'm like, so did we douche today?
Jeez,
what's going on? You know what I mean? So that was probably the worst. And that was probably the worst.
Are you still together?
No. No.
I've been there on the other end of that situation. So
it happens.
But I wouldn't even say that was the worst for me. Like I was that bottom one time, but the worst for me was one time, I have no idea how this happened either. And honestly, it kind of scared the shit out of me. But I was giving head to this guy, and it was dark. And we like finished basically. And then I go to the bathroom, and I've like, this is really gross. This is really, really gross. I have blood all over my mouth. My throat started bleeding while I was giving this. I don't know how. I literally don't know how. And I was like, oh my God, like, did I like literally like damage my esophagus? He had blood all over himself too. And he's like, are you okay? He was really nice about it. I personally, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, I'd pass out actually. Like, I'm not good with blood, so I'd pass out. But he was like, are you all right? I'm like, I feel fine, but I'm like, there's blood and like, I'm spitting out blood right now.
So. Fine, yeah.
it was, I don't know what happened, but that was really bad.
I need to remember to trigger warning this episode. So
oh yeah, trigger warning. Blood yeah. In mouth on penis. Yeah. Sorry about it.
Hey Brian, what about you?
Okay, this was actually pretty recent, but so I was living in Burnaby at the time and I was on Grindr and I was like so fucking bored. Like I hadn't seen anyone in weeks and I was like, or like months at this time. So I decided to bring this guy over. He was like a couple years older, like I would say like 7. And I literally just wanted to like cuddle and watch a movie. That was fucking my mistake going on fucking Grindr. But
holy yeah.
No, but I made it clear to him. I was like, oh, I just want to watch a movie and cuddle. He was like, yeah, sure, whatever. This motherfucker comes and he's like mask. And I'm like, no problem with that, whatever. Do what you gotta do. But I was like, I don't know. I guess I was really nervous. Like, I really couldn't present myself because like my authentic self. I was really, really nervous. And he kind of sensed it. So it was going downhill already. And then like we were cuddling and then he's fucking smelled like alcohol. He was like drinking. I was like, okay, whatever. And then basically we end up fucking. And then after I was like, okay. And then like he's like looking for a condom, whatever. And I tell him it's in a box. He opens a different box. And at the time I was like,
yeah, sorry, Brian.
With like makeup, whatever, and shit. And he opens my makeup box. And then he just gives me this fucking look. And I was like, oh my God. Cause like, I guess, I don't know. I was just like uncomfortable. And I was like, such a weird experience. And then we finished whatever. And then he was like sleeping. He fell asleep during the movie. I wanted him out of my house so fucking bad. It literally like, but fast forward the movie to like the end. I was like, oh, wake up. The movie's over. Like, get the fuck out of my house.
Oh my God.
He was like,
that's kind of genius.
I was just about to say that. I'm taking that out of
my pocket.
He was like, oh my God, that was so fast. I was like, I know, it was such a good movie. She missed.
What movie was it?
I have no idea. This guy put on like some fucking white ass shit. I don't know.
Ask a deep question that's gonna make us fight with each other.
Oh, let's turn this into an episode of Untucked.
Ooh.
Be like, I had to lip sync for my life. I was ready to do so.
Oh my God, Silky.
The only difficult one I have is, how much does body type play into your ability to find someone attractive?
To be honest, I think like when I look at someone, I think like the first thing I see is like their outfit. So I'm like automatically kind of like attracted to like what they're wearing. I don't really care about the body type.
No, I agree. I think it's more about the vibe. Like, I think there are some guys who just pull off different bodies than other guys. Like, some guys don't look good really skinny. Other guys don't look good really fit even. Like, other guys look really bad. Just, you know, I mean, it just kind of depends on the overall, like, the vibe. The outfit, like you said, I think the face too. Just what their whole shtick is.
Okay, but if you're on Grindr and you're looking to hook up with someone, how much does their body play into your decision?
I think it's more about the face. And yeah, I think honestly, not that much, I'd say. But also, I guess in the same way, a lot, because the face, like, I think they're just hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean, like, they're both appearance, but I just feel like, especially on Grindr and in the gay community, like, body shaming is a big issue, and I feel like it plays into people's attraction more than they think or realize, just because it's like built into us.
Mm-hmm. Even since we were like young, we are taught fat phobic things, and you have to like learn to unteach yourself those things, obviously. I don't know. For me personally, I don't really care.
I think the flaw in like apps like Grindr, where like it shows like the weight size, I think that's pretty like,
yeah,
literally.
Like, why? What does it matter? Like, why is it there? Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm definitely more of like a vibe and energy type of person. Like, if our auras meet and like we're like vibing, we're having a good time, I think that's the most important thing to me. If I work hard on my body though, and if I want to look good, whatever that means, like having a dad bod, having a body like in my eyes I want, if I'm working hard on myself, I would want my partner to do the same, you know what I mean? Whether that means like looking good, like getting a nice haircut, I don't know, whatever that means for them, I think that in a relationship, I think that's nice to have.
I think being sexually attracted to someone is just very layered in so many different ways. And I think obviously your physical appearance is such a big part of that, but I just don't know how I would define even like what body type I am most attracted to. Like, I don't even know. Because again, I feel like it's just so complicated.
When I look at like people who like do like on my Twitter feed, like there's a bunch of people who post like thirst traps, I like look at them and it doesn't turn me on. It's literally just like, I want to be you. You know,
it's like, a very complicated no, yeah. Sometimes I can't go on Instagram because I get both horny and insecure.
Yeah.
Period.
Like at the same time.
I mean, like I said, I think it's kind of built into everyone to a certain degree, and certain people have unlearned fat phobia on their own. I feel like I've just had such terrible experiences on Grindr, and I don't even think I'm like fat. Per se, not that being fat is a problem. I just feel like on Grindr to people, I'm like 800 pounds.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I'm obese on life support and I'm gonna die. Like that's what I think people see me as on Grindr. And like people on Grindr are so brazen. They're just like, I mean, to be fair, I haven't been on Grindr in years, but they're just like, what are your stats?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like let me just, here's my weight and my height and my dick size. Yeah. Like it's so gross. And I don't know, I think personally I don't care so much about the body when it comes to a relationship. Like that for me is more of a vibe and an energy and how we connect. But I think I would be lying if I said when I go for a hookup I'm not looking for a certain type of person. And that person is not necessarily like ripped and jacked. Like I'm not even really into like that body in general. But I have an idea of who I want to hook up with when I'm looking to hook up with someone, if that makes sense.
That's fair. See, that's why I just don't hook up. Just don't partake. I'm abstinent.
Yeah. Born again virgin. Yeah. Leah's a born again virgin.
Yes. Honestly, at this point.
Okay, I'm going to ask this one because I think it kind of goes hand in hand with how fucked up Grindr is and like the community. It's the question, I'm gonna reword it, but how prevalent is racism in the LGBTQIA plus community?
Prevalent.
Yeah. Prevalent. All yeah. over the place.
It's there.
I don't think I have any personal experiences seeing like having a gay person be racist towards me, but I've seen it online from like gay people being racist towards other people. And it goes even like to say this, I keep referencing Drag Race, I'm so sorry, but like even when it comes to like Drag Race queens, like some of the lowest followed queens ever, half of them are Black,
even if they win their season, even if they're the winner. Yeah
like I think Jada just recently hit 1 million when Gigi's at like 1.5. like it shows.
Mm-hmm.
and the sad thing is that like these people might not even realize that they're doing it. Like it's small things, but those small things do add up.
Totally.
I think that's a good example, the Drag Race example, because I've always, like, that's always been so strange to me. Like even like Monet Exchange, like just hit 1 million like last year, and like
that's wild.
She won how many years ago? Like, yeah. So
literally, I think I mean, just in the community as a whole, it's still like those racial hierarchies are almost like amplified because like the gay community can be so hyper fixated on physicality and like the fetishization of certain people, as well as just like the like systemic structures that we that like the drag race example. I think that's like a perfect example of like how systematic it is.
I think the fetish part is also very key to touch on, just because like I don't know if I've necessarily have had somebody be super racist to me on Grindr, but I think the biggest turnoff, and I've had to like really fight with people on there, is like someone will hop into my DMs and just be like, oh, when am I gonna get that BBC today? Mm-hmm. Oh, I just want that black this. Oh, I want that black that. And I'm like, but what do you mean though? Because someone could be black, white, whatever your color is, and they can still have a big dick. You know what I mean? And I'm like, why do you need to throw the black in there? Like, I get it if that's your zhuzh to turn you on, then that's cute, but don't come into my DM, sweetie, and look for a proper agente or whatever the fuck you want. Like, it's not gonna work like that. So to me, I think that's irritating, is when like the color of my skin, like people like love to just fantasize about that. It just irritates me.
I totally 100% agree to that. I feel like my background has a lot to do with why people kind of approach me sometimes. They're like, oh, I have a thing for Latino men, let's hang out or let's do something. I've had so many messages like that on Grindr. I don't take that as a compliment. I take it as, oh, you have this one mindset and you're gonna stick with it, and then that's what you're gonna go with. I don't know, it's very weird. But I think as a person of color, I think my biggest struggle is just having a very traditional household and having my not having things very confusing for my childhood. I wouldn't say I've experienced racism in the gay community, more so my ethnic background and my culture.
Interesting. Do you feel like when people like approach you about things like that, it almost like feels like they don't even have an intention of getting to know you like as a person? Like, I feel like it seems very dehumanizing.
I think it's just like very, very ignorant. First of all, they're like, oh, I'm into this race. I'm going to stick with it. You know what I mean? It's like you're closing yourself down to so many amazing people. And I think that's fucking wrong, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, Grindr, like the whole no fats, no femmes, no Asians thing, that I don't know if that's still a thing, but when I was on Grindr, people would put that in their fucking bios. Yeah. Like, that is insane. That is insane to me. No fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Literally.
Like, part of me.
Literally. That's crazy.
Even now, like, I download Grindr because I kind of like the attention. Anyways.
Oh, me too.
Downtown,
that's
like
a favorite.
The bios are like, no femmes, stay fit. And it's like,
literally
who are you?
Yeah, that's fucked.
I just wanted to say something. I think working in the restaurant industry, it's a big thing for gay people because, oh my God, the way you get treated sometimes because you're being the person that you are, it's crazy. Like, I've served so many people and you can just see like the disappointment in their eyes when I'm like, have this bubbly personality, and it's like I kind of have to like tone myself down a bit, you know what I mean? It's like, number one, I'm like, if I'm handling a customer full of like white old ladies or like just a group of like old white people, it's like they look you down. First of all, I don't know if it's because of my skin color, and then when I speak, it's like another thing, you know what I mean? So I think that's a big issue, because like, how can I express myself without having like things like that happen at my workplace, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, I think going up to tables when you're gay is kind of awkward, especially because like most of the time servers are women. So then you get a group of guys and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna get like a hot chick tonight. She's gonna bring us drinks, she's gonna flirt with us. And then I walk over and I'm like, hey guys, want some beer?
I've served tables before, and like I've served like my own kind, like Indian guys, and I'm very expressive and I'm very like bubbly and like pretty loud, I guess you could say. Like, I try to be personable when I would serve tables, And I remember punching their food and I could hear them like making fun of the way that I was talking.
Oh my God.
And like, ugh, like playing with their hair and like, yeah, it was just yeah, the whole thing. And it was just like, I'm uncomfortable right now. I don't.
Yeah, kick him out. I'd kick him out.
It's so gross though, because it's like y'all came to, like, what are they forgetting? They're the customer. Like, you came to somebody's work and now you want to cop an attitude because what does that do with the food going from the plate to your mouth? Nothing. Like, people just weird me out like that.
Yeah, they're stupid. I hate customer service. But a lot of money.
Wait, can I ask something? I don't have an answer because I don't know. But okay, how long should sex last?
If it's in the morning, just get it done with. I'm tired. I don't want to be doing that. Like, just hurry up. Like, 5 minutes. Just get it over with. I don't want to have sex in the morning. Like, I don't want to have sex in the morning. No, I'm asleep. I'm trying to, if I'm in bed and you wake me up and you're like just grinding all up on me, I'm like, I'm literally trying to sleep right now. At least let me have some breakfast.
It depends what the vibe is. Like, if I'm having a good time, maybe like an hour and a half. Oh my God. Whoa! Maybe an hour and a half.
I'm gonna use the voice crack.
Yeah. But yeah, in the morning, that should have to be fucking fast or I'm passing out again. Bye.
I fuck for a while. I'm not even gonna front. I love to fuck. I'm not even gonna, like, really and truly, my ex used to bitch and complain about it. Like, he was like, you fuck way too much. I'm like, well, just let me have a moment. You know what I mean? But I can tone it down. I don't know. I think it's a vibe thing too. Like, I love to fuck in the morning. I don't know. It depends. It really depends. I'm not gonna front, but I fuck a lot.
Yeah, I don't think there's one answer.
Right.
Like,
I see my ideal time would be like 40 minutes, 45. Because I also don't want to take all day. Like, I want to do things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Liam, you're having sex at fucking 1:45 p.m. Like, of course you have shit to do. Like, I prefer night time. Like, I like sex. I honestly like when, like, you go to bed and then you kind of have sex in the middle of the night and it just kind of, like, happens, you know? I don't like morning sex because I get very anxious as a bottom, like, if things are not going to go well, like, in the morning. Like, I don't know what my digestive system has done overnight, you know what I mean? Like,
no, you need time to prepare. Like, I don't want, that's the other thing, is I don't, give me 20 minutes. Like, hold on.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like douching in the morning. Like,
yeah, no. Oh, no.
I'm gonna have to take master prep classes from, like, all of you before I have my first... little tutorials. What do I do? What are the do's and don'ts?
Okay, should people like Harvey Weinstein, Chris Brown, or R. Kelly be forgiven or given a second chance?
No. No. No.
Forgiven? No. Forgiven? No.
No.
Second chance? No. I think the only thing is with those situations is I find like I still watch House of Cards and like the first seasons with Kevin Spacey, it's still good TV. And like a lot of Weinstein Company movies, a lot of those movies are still good movies. It's just very unfortunate that the people behind it are horrible, horrible people. And I think like that's just a question of like how much should you distinguish between like the art and the artist? And I don't really know that there's a perfect answer for that. I think as long as they're profiting off of those things, you shouldn't be supporting them for, like, I don't think that's right. But at the same time, if they're not, like, I don't think Harvey Weinstein's making any money off of movies that he made. I know Chris Brown is, like, the fact that Chris Brown is still working is kind of insane to me. And I know with R. Kelly, they got rid of like a ton of his music off Spotify and stuff. So it is just about, I think it's just about like how much enjoying their work is supporting them.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably get canceled.
Ooh. You go.
No, I'll probably get canceled after this. But I mean, like, I only support Chris Brown because Rihanna, basically, I don't know if you saw the interview she gave with Oprah. This was like, I couldn't even tell you when, right? But this was when they were in Barbados, whatever, and she was just talking about like the whole situation. And it kind of like opened my mind to the perspective, because at first I was like, fuck this guy, your music is bomb, but you're a shitty individual to do that to my queen. But then she even was like, he doesn't deserve the hate because he's not in the right mental place. You know what I mean? And for her to even take herself out of her own abuse and be like, this guy needs his own help and needs his time to heal and do what he needs to do. I was like, you know what? If he can show me that he's a changed individual, I'm gonna still bop his shit.
I think that he had allegations against him recently.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Are you for real?
There's like a, yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but there's like a laundry list at this point of women that Chris Brown has beat the shit out of.
Okay, so I take back everything the fuck I just said. Watch that, rewind, forget it, he's canceled. So, I mean, fuck all the people you listed. Where the fuck have I been? I'm over here thinking Rihanna was the only one.
Well, that's the point. Like, it doesn't, it, like, Chris Brown is not really put on blast for the shit he does. It's almost, and I mean,
it's normalized because it's like, people yeah. don't pay attention to it because it's stuff that he's done before.
Yeah.
It was almost the same way with Harvey Weinstein before. Like, it was just like a well-known thing in Hollywood, I guess, among people that, like, that was just what he did. Mm-hmm. But, like, it wasn't really too open to the public. And then all like that, you know, it was such like a watershed moment for the whole industry. And it's just like, it's honestly scary. Yeah. I think with like, when people say like canceled as well, it's like, oh, you know, people get canceled over some things that I'm like, you know, there's space for you to be forgiven, but like multiple, like, you know, sexually assaulting like multiple women and just being so predatory in your work, like Harvey Weinstein is just, I don't think you can come back from that. There's no way.
No. I mean, those examples were so extreme. Like,
yeah.
But I do know people who can separate art from the artist. Like, I know people who still, before it was removed, I mean, I think a lot of R. Kelly's music is still on Spotify, but I know people who listen to it and they don't have a problem with the fact that he's getting whatever 70 cents he's getting from their stream, but I can't do it. Like, I feel so guilty. And I mean, R. Kelly is a talented musician and he's a talented songwriter and he has bops. Like, he has a lot of songs that are really good. I have not listened to a single one since all of that stuff came out. And I don't think I ever will.
Any of the songs?
You don't know Ignition? You don't know Ignition? You don't.
Oh, yeah.
I believe
you don't know. Yeah, hello.
What's another one?
I just know I Believe I Can Fly. The one you'd sing as a kid where you're like Burger King and chicken wings and shit.
Yeah.
I think that there's something where it's like, who am I to forgive someone for something that wasn't done to me or harmful to me? These sexual allegations are not for me to forgive.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it just doesn't make sense for me accepting an apology that's not for me. Apologize to that person. Mm-hmm. Show the person that you've grown. Take accountability.
I think that's fair. I also just think in the same vein, I don't know if it's then fair to take, to be affected or impacted by, I mean, I think it's fair to judge someone on some of the horrible things they've done, but I just think in like the broader discussion around cancel culture, I do also think like if someone like, you know, like people get canceled because they like were shitty to their staff because they were just like they're rude uppity rich assholes, and I'm like, why am I taking issue with that? Like, I get, yeah, that makes you a shitty person, but like I don't really know why I need to be the one that's like...
It's like, we're the ones giving those people platforms. Why are we giving shitty people platforms?
I just think it's like... Like, with Ellen, I just didn't care. Like, when Ellen got canceled, I'm like, I just don't... I'm like, Ellen was rude to people that came on her show. Like, okay.
Literally, when I heard sorry, that too, I was like, okay, and? Like, who cares? The girl's been washed up. Nope, the ratings are low. Like, that's not who... Like...
Oh, not washed up.
Washed up. Like, literally, I'm like, okay. I honestly was, I forgot she was still on TV. Like, no shade. Honestly, no shade. Like, when I think of like talk show hosts now, I only think of Wendy Williams. And even she is problematic, but
she knows it too. And she eats that shit up. And I love that.
He sits there. And I had to just give it up. When she had that interview with Jocelyn Hernandez and she just took the flowers from the vase beside her and threw it, I was like, Wendy, like now this is too much. Like, This is just Housewives on national TV. Like, this is just too much. Like, bigger. Like, it's just too much. You know what I mean? But Ellen, what's Lauren? Ellen, who cares? Like, it's over.
Yeah. I want to ask this question because I don't know how I feel about it. But would you be upset if someone you were seeing did not disclose that they were trans until well into the relationship?
No.
What would I care? I do think, like, if we had sex and I didn't, like, know you were trans before we had sex and, like, you had a vagina, I'd be like, I don't know what to do with that. You know, I don't know how to use a vagina. I don't know what the operatings are or like, how.
Manual?
Yeah, like.
Like, think of Nikki tutorials, for example, and how her boyfriend of years did not know that she was a trans woman. Is that a problem?
No. What?
No. I think it's it's a trans person's decision to disclose those things. I think if you're at a certain point in a relationship, I do think you would want to be at a point where you could feel comfortable and trusting enough with someone that you would be able to be like fully open about your whole lived experience. But I also think that's a trans person's decision ultimately. I'm just thinking if I was a trans person, I would want to feel comfortable enough in the relationship. I wouldn't want to feel concerned that that should even be an issue once it's brought up.
No, I agree. I think that it depends how far along you are in a relationship for sure. But I don't see that as like a huge issue. Like, it's not anyone's right to tell someone what to disclose. I kind of see like both sides of like the argument when it comes to like trust in a relationship and honesty in a relationship. But I think at the end of the day, it's the trans person's right to disclose or not to disclose. So
I think I would like to know if I was like, if like that person felt comfortable telling me, like if we're like 3 years in a relationship and they wanted to open up to me about this part, like I would love that, you know what I mean? Just to like acknowledge what kind of like hardships they faced, you know what I mean? Because if I went my whole partnership with them without knowing, like that's a huge part of who they are, do you know what I mean? So I think it would benefit me for knowing and how I could like help in that way, you know?
And like empathize with them.
For sure, yeah.
Well, I did the both school, so I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't even care. I'd be like, let's get her going.
That's a winner.
Let's figure it out. Like, I wouldn't care. I mean, like, is that like, because it's just for me putting myself in that person's shoes, I just feel like that would maybe be a conversation that maybe they might not want to have right off the bat, and maybe they don't feel comfortable sharing. You know what I mean? But at that point, it's like, if you already got to the point where you're several, whatever, weeks, months down the road, and you're now about to do what you need to do, I mean, if the person has a, like, what's gonna, I mean, obviously, if you're not a vagina person or a dick person, I get maybe, like, the intimacy might be a little off, but to be like, fuck you, get the fuck out of my house, I just think that's, like, well, what happened to, you know what I mean? Like, what happened to the relationship you were building prior to that? That's still an individual that you still had a connection with, right?
Yeah.
Well, I also think that like people maybe with this question would get hung up on like the biological parts, but I think that a lot of people would be surprised if they like built a connection and an attraction to someone, like how much those biological parts don't matter.
Yeah.
So. And also like trans people like face a lot of danger when they disclose that they're trans. So I just don't think it's right to pressure anyone into doing that in any circumstance, honestly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Should we finish up with a couple lighter questions? Now that we've got...
Do any of you have lighter questions?
I have a good one.
Okay.
What's the most shocking message you've received on a dating app? I love this question.
Mine was not that shocking. It was... I will pay you $300 to sit on my face. And it was this
100.
I know, it was this really, really old man. Like he was like 82 and he was in Vancouver and he was like, come to my apartment and sit on my face. I'll give you $300. And I was like 17, I was like 17.
Please tell me you did it.
No, I was like 17. I was a virgin and I didn't do it. And I'm like, if I got the message now, like I would be there in like 30 minutes.
I'd be like, do you mean like today, like after dinner, or what's the sitch? That's what I would.
Yeah, and I was like, that's all I have to do. And he was like, yeah, like literally just sit on my face. I was like, oh, okay.
Like, oh my gosh, what if you like suffocate?
I don't even think that one's that crazy. As far as Grindr goes, I don't think that's that crazy.
I've had this guy, he like messaged me on Grindr, and he's messaged lots of people in like the area, but this motherfucker was like, hey, I'll give you $50 if you let me like open your toenail and smell it like a Sharpie. Ah!
What?
Open your toenail? Like,
I was like, what the fuck? Literally, so guy wanted to smell my fucking toes or my toenail. Like he wanted to like,
oh my god,
lift it, I guess, and smell it like a Sharpie. I was like, are you fucking dumb?
For 50, you lost me at that price.
$50. I was like, no, fuck you.
You need to up that fee. You need to up that fee.
Blocked, deleted. Fuck you. See you later.
I also had a guy call me. He like messaged me and he was like, "You're cute." And I was like, thank you. And he was like, you'd be cuter if you fixed your five head. I was like,
wow. He came in like that.
I was like, okay. That took a turn. Like, that really took a turn.
So rude.
I've gotten shit like that, but not like that intense. One I really liked that I got was someone told me I looked like Luca Magnotta, the gay porn star cannibal. Ooh. Who sent all those body parts to members of parliament. And then I was like, I laughed because I was like, actually, someone's told me that before. And then he's like, well, then maybe you should change your picture. Okay. I thought you were being cheeky, but okay. We're just really coming for me now.
I love that story.
Yeah. I also got, you've got a really big head. That was a good one, which is just true. And then the guy, and I was like, LOL, like, that's kind of rude. And he's like, do you have any pics? Like, he just asked me for like more pics. I was like, so I'm hot, but I have a big head. Okay.
There is no shame on Grindr. Like, they have no shame on Grindr.
I also had a guy who was like convinced he knew I should know who he was. He's like, you know who this is. I'm like, I don't know who this is. He's like, fuck, like, why were we beefing? Why we got beef? I'm like, I don't have beef with anyone. I don't know who you are. And he's like, you know who I am. I'm like, I don't know who this is.
Wait, let me guess. Was his picture not there? It was anonymous, right?
It was anonymous, yeah. And he's just like, you know who this is? Like, why are we beefing? And he's like, LOL, don't be a bitch. Like, and I'm like, who are you? I literally don't know who this is.
People weird me the fuck. This Twitter finger troll anonymous bitch came into my DMs when I broke up with my ex. And he's like, oh, were you dating so-and-so? And I was like, well, we broke up. He's going off the T. Oh, you need to know this about him. You need to know this about this. You need to know. And I'm like, okay, first of all, who are you? He's like, oh, that's not important. I'm like, well, I would think that is, since you know my ex and you're trying to give all this tea. Like, who are you? Oh, you need to know. You don't know who the fuck I am, bitch. You need to watch yourself. He's just talking all this mess. I'm like, first of all, bitch, you came into my DMs, number one, acting crazy. I'm not the one. Second of all, how are you going to come into a DM saying this mess and you don't even have you don't have a picture, you don't have a name, nothing? Literally. I hate that. It's so
the audacity.
What was the question again?
Worst or just weirdest message you've received on Grindr or any app?
I kind of have a funny one. Okay, so I was like, oh hey, what's up? And he said, horny, LOL, how about you? And I said, watching Glee with a heart. And he said, you horny?
That's a pretty casual conversation, I feel like.
Were you just reading that? Was this recent?
No, I have a screenshot of it.
Dude.
This made me giggle. I was like, why wouldn't you already be watching Glee?
Oh! That's so funny.
Why even say that, though? Yeah. Why not just let it be?
Just JK. Thank you.
So rude. Wait, I have a question in my thingy that I kind of want to ask. Is that okay?
Okay. Yep.
It says, does porn do more harm than good or more good than harm?
We just did an episode on this. So I'm going to have to talk to the question maker because it sounds like they didn't watch our episode. I think porn is harmful. I think the industry is harmful to the people who are in it. And I think that consuming porn, especially as a queer person, can be harmful because that can be your only form of sexual education. And porn is not real sex. And it is not what real sex looks like. And so I think porn is fine to indulge in. If you like porn, that's great, but you just need to be able to have the maturity to not let that affect how you view sex or yourself. And I think it's a very fine line. Yeah. So
I second most of that. And I also just want to say, I think porn as a an idea and like in a more sustainable and equitable form would be fine, like as an industry. I just think it's very toxic because it's so in the shadows. Like no one really wants to talk about, there's no regulation around porn really. There's not a lot of like rules or, you know, support for the workers who are actually making it. So I think that's just a big, that's where the industry, the porn industry needs to move.
It's confusing for me too, like as somebody who hasn't had sex before, it's like I already have an idea of what, like it's so, I already have like an expectation.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Don't think that porn's gonna be like that in real life. Like that's not what sex is like. Well, it depends, I don't know.
Unless you get into porn, then yeah, that's what sex will be like.
Yeah. It's very unrealistic though. It's like, they hype it up too much. I'm like.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a whole other issue when you talk about like the bodies that are in porn and the, you know.
Both people are whitewashed and how when there's people in porn, it's fetishizing. I don't think I've ever seen an Indian porn star ever.
Yeah, it's a very white dominated industry, so.
There's so many white porn stars, it's insane. Like that's all you fucking see. I'm like, damn, get a little diversity.
And I think that's why so much, because like I feel like so many of us kind of like grew up on the internet and we found porn or whatever, and our minds are conditioned to think that like those are the only people we should find attractive.
Yeah,
you know, and those bodies are the only things that we should consider attractive.
Yeah, I think that's just an issue of that industry.
I think it does more harm than good in every way.
That was light.
Okay, who has a song? Who has a song?
I actually have two, but I consider them the same song because it's this, it's a remix of the same song by the same person remixing it, but they just made two different remixes. So it's the Spinning Charlie XCX featuring the 1975, blah, blah, blah.
The remix is so much better.
Both of them, so good. But they're both like kind of different ends of the spectrum, and I really like listening to them in conjunction with each other.
My song is, I recently have watched all of Pose because I had not seen Pose. And so I literally over the, we did an episode on like ballroom, and after we did that interview, I was like, I need to watch Pose. So I watched, I actually just finished the last episode today, so I'm all caught up. But my song of the week that I've been so fucking obsessed with is called Never Knew Love Like This Before by Stephanie Mills. And it was on an episode of Pose. I don't really want to say what happened because it's a spoiler, but someone dies and this song plays and it's amazing.
Where do you watch it? I need to watch it so bad.
I just have it like on, I have it, like I have FX on demand on like my television box or some shit. I don't know.
I can share the link that I watch it.
Please.
So if you want me to watch it, so I don't get shot after this, I can let you, you know, we'll watch it. I have two songs. One of them, I love, I don't know if you all have seen the show, but it's called Legendary.
On HBO, right?
That's all I'm looking at. That's all I'm gonna say.
We had someone from Legendary on the show.
Yeah.
Who?
London Escada.
Stop, I love London. This show, like,
she's so sweet.
Ballroom is so good. For like, ballroom is just like, we all know it is like a foundation for like just everything, in my opinion. And the music that they have, like the intro, you know, where it's like Legendary, Legendary, like that song slaps. Like I play that every day to go to work. I'm like, this is everything. Like this is just giving me Vogue, ballroom. I need it. And then there's this new song I found. It's called Soon As by Tamel. And it's basically like a sample of Faith Evans, like Soon As I Get Home. And she did what she needed to do. It was everything. Like the song, like, you know, when people sample a song and it's just like not it. It's, yeah, it's everything. Like this is, I just needed this today. So it's the songs are just everything, you know?
Shit. I think my favorite, this past month I've been really freaking into Beyonce. Like I'm literally obsessed. I think my favorite right now is Love Drought.
Mm. Oh, sweet song.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or Pray You Catch Me. I literally feel like I'm like floating into space.
Lemonade is one of the best albums of all time, and I will.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. She's like my number one played artist, I think.
I've been really obsessed with Chemtrails. Just that song though. I listened to the album.
Oh.
It was okay. I kind of expected a bit more, but Chemtrails was just that song for me, and it was like, ugh, I'm obsessed.
Well, she has another album coming out.
I know, pretty fucking better than this one.
Lana Del Rey.
Who? Oh,
like this next month.
When
this month?
Bishan, you're supposed to be a Twitter person. Like, how do you not know this stuff? Have you not seen the cover of her album?
Oh wait, that's the one on the one on Pixar, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I made it for her. She called me up. She's like, "Ma'am, can you use this?" I said, yeah. That was great, I think. We got a lot of content.
Thank you guys for coming on to this.
The first ever queer roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me, too.
You're welcome for being on time. No worries.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. That was fun. No, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I had a good time. We'd like to thank Brian, Bishan, and Nick for joining us today. It was really awesome to have a lot more queer voices on our round table. And it was not even at a table or round.
We will have everyone's socials in the description of the episode.
In the description of this episode.
Do you want to say where they can find us?
You can find us on the internet and wherever you find your podcast that you're listening to this podcast on. We're also available on the Instagram app, which you can get in the Apple App Store or the Android Google Play App Store. At 2servingspod.
Yes, good job.
And Gmail is at 2servingspod@gmail.com. Email us.
Yes.
Write us in. Write into our email and say, oh no.
You can find out more about us at 2servingspod.com if you're wondering what we look like behind these beautiful sensual voices.
Yeah. www.2servingspod.com.
Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because we deserve it.
Those reviews go a really long fucking way. That review gets us at least, it feeds our children. It pays for my treatments.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I don't even know where to go from there. Anyways. We will see you next time.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.